Good morning and welcome this morning.
Well, today's Father's Day.
How exciting. And so to all of you who are fathers here and all of those listening through the internet, happy Father's Day. If your father is still alive today, which many of us, our fathers are not, but if he is, it's a day to honor him, appreciate him, and as we get, I'm sure as the fathers sitting here realize, as you get older and you become fathers yourself, you realize how difficult a task sometimes being a good father really is. As wives, we see that, it's not an easy task. Just ask any of the fathers, I'm sure they'll tell you. But I do believe that at the end of the day, it's the most rewarding one. It might be difficult, and you wonder, oh, why did I do this? But as your children grow and you see them prosper, and you reap the rewards of all your efforts. And you know, unto the children, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, it says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This one comes with promise. So what does it mean to honor your mom and dad? Well, it means to be submissive to them, to esteem or think very highly of them, to respect them and respect their words. You can't be respecting someone if you're not respecting their words. And we know that part of human nature, and all kids can agree with this, and adults, part of our human nature is to rebel against all constituted authority. It doesn't matter if it's mom, dad, the government, the teacher. There's just something within us that wants to rebel. And so that is where fathers and parents kind of come into some issues concerning children. But the Bible tells us, children, be submissive unto your mom and dad. Honor them, esteem them highly. And it also says to obey your parents in the Lord. It's important for you to understand that. If you are in the Lord, if you are in Jesus, then when we honor our moms and our dads, what is that promise that he promises us? Verse 3 tells us that it will go well with you and you will live a long life on the earth. A lot of people don't teach that to their children. I think we ought to. Hey, you want to live a long life? It's something children should understand. I didn't know that. And I look back at my own childhood and I think, ooh, I was the black sheep of the family. I think, rebel, rebel, rebel. But it's. I know that the Bible goes on to say, then parents, provoke not your children to wrath. In other words, bring them up in the admonition and the training of the Lord. Bring them up in grace. Be a grace parent. Not always pointing out their faults, but encouraging them and lifting them up also in their positive, in the positive as well. And so having said all that, I spoke to the dads, happy Father's Day, and the children to obey and respect their parents. And so let's remember today to honor and appreciate our dads. And, you know, not just today, but every day. It's important. And I think that we can all agree on the fact that we all want a long, happy life. Right? Can I hear an amen? Do we all want to live long and happy until the Lord returns? But that's where I want to go today. Why are there so many unhappy people in our world today? And I'm not just talking about people that are not Christians. I'm talking about Christians as well. There are a lot of unhappy Christians. And even there is unhappy people, even among people who have no reason to be unhappy. Seemingly they are prosperous in the things of the world. You know, they have lots of money, they have good jobs, they have, you know, healthy families and so on. And yet people can be very unhappy. And I've noticed that. When you are unhappy, or if you are kind of a little bit depressed or down, or you know what, that affects your physical health. It does. Unhappiness, it does something to your whole being. And so this morning I want to talk and share a little bit about what the Bible says about a happy life. You know, let's face it, if life is not happy, then we're just enduring. We ought to, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. When you aren't happy, I don't believe you're experiencing an abundance of life. And children, even children, it seems to be affecting. Children are the ones that ought to always be happy. They live in the moment. They don't worry about tomorrow or what has been or what will be. But even children, I find today, are kind of sometimes not that happy. And I don't understand, but I know that the Lord has the answer. And so we're going to look at some of these things this morning. Proverbs chapter 17:22, if you want to pull that up. 17:22. The Bible says that a merry heart, a happy heart, doeth good like a medicine. If you are happy inside, then your flesh is happy. Everything, it exuberates and brings life even to your physical body. And so a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 15:15, let's read that one as well, says this: All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Right? I mean, it's wonderful to be happy and to be of a good frame of mind. Now, as Christians, we ought to be the happiest people on this planet. But we too, sadly to say, can fall into a place where life seems to hold no joy. Now, I'm not talking about being suicidal or being, but I mean, we all go through periods of down, we're depressed, we're seemingly life has lost its joy. And, you know, no matter who you are, as long as you're in this world, you're going to experience and come up against some problems, some trials, and troubles. And God wants us to learn how to live and dwell in a higher place. Because it all begins in your heart and in your mind. So that we are able to easily, the Bible says that, though I walk through the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. In other words, we're walking through. We're not camping out there. And we need to learn how to walk in God's ways in that higher place. So no matter who you are, troubles are going to come your way. It's just because we live in it. Number one, because we live in this fallen world, a world that is not under the control right now of Jesus. We know who's in control and who is the God of this world. And we have this enemy out there who's out to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. I am come that you might have life, but the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And he is very actively at work at all the time. In whatever way he can get in, he gets in. And when we do come under attack, whether it's with a disease, a sickness, or other hardships that happen in our lives, our natural response is to become very sullen and complain. Come on. How many of you don't complain when problems happen? I mean, if you are already on that higher plane, praise God. Lead others there. But most of us, when we get hit with adverse circumstances or problems, our first thing that comes out of our mouth is words of complaining. And we get very down. We get down. So how do we battle all that? Because that moment when these things come at you determines the outcome of what you're going through. It's so important that we understand this as Christians. So how we deal with everyday disappointments and trials, because every day we can have disappointments and trials, determines whether we will live under that circumstance or whether we are going to go high above that circumstance. It's as simple as that. Now, God's ways are far more superior and supersede our ways. We know that. And if we want to live above our circumstances in life and troubles, we need to find out what God's way is. One thing about our God or our Heavenly Father is this: His ways are simple and they're small and insignificant. They seem to be small and insignificant to us. And I think that's why we don't take them seriously. We listen to them, we hear them, and then they go in one ear and out the other. And we say yes and amen when we hear it, but do we take it seriously? And this morning I want to talk about taking what I'm going to say here today very seriously, because it'll change your life. Even though it's a small thing, and it's a thing we all know, but we don't put it into practice. A lot of times because we don't feel it in the moment. And like I said last week, if you are going to be led by your feelings and your emotions, you're not going to make it. You are going to be down, up and down, and up and down. One day happy, the next day sad, depending on your circumstances or depending on how you feel. So let's do the comparison. When trouble or trials come our way, we complain, we get down. When God's way is exactly the opposite, God says to rejoice and give Him praise, and He will lift you up. Rejoice, give Him praise, and be lifted up. Shout His praise, sing unto Him, the Bible says. Make melody in your hearts unto Him. Do you know how many times in the Bible, I was studying this over the last course of the week already, just because of something the Holy Spirit has shown me. Do you know how many times in the Bible it tells us to sing unto the Lord? I couldn't even count them. That's how many times it's written. And yet, how many of you here sing unto the Lord daily at all times, making melody in your hearts as unto the Lord? Very few of us do. We usually do it on Sunday morning, and then most of us are like, we're not engaging, we're not entering in and really worshiping God with our hearts. God is seeking such to worship. Now, this is a simple thing, and if you remember the story of King David, how he danced unto the Lord and he praised the Lord to the point where he was dancing down the road with just his, whatever they called it back then. Today it's his whiteies, tidy whiteies on, and his wife saw him through the window, and she was horrified. She was embarrassed. How dare you make a spectacle of yourself? And yet God was totally delighted, and because of it, I believe it was Micah, she was barren. In the eyes of the Lord, rejoicing, singing, praising, there's nothing more holy that we could do. You know, so many times we think of so many things we need to do. I need to fast, I need to pray, I need to speak, I need to cast, rebuke, all these things. No, you don't. It's very simple. Just praise God in the moment. Rejoice in God your Savior in that moment when you feel like you are, troubles are coming your way. Too often we don't do that. We don't do that. We allow ourselves to stew in it, and it works us up. And for the end of the day, you're just, it exhausts you. It robs you, not only of your joy, but of your energy, because your joy is your strength. And there's nothing worse than feeling just blah. I don't like that feeling, and I know that every human being goes through that. But we as Christians ought to understand and know the higher way and to practice it in our lives, to the point where it's an automatic thing. That's immediately where we go when we sense any kind of trial or tribulation in our lives. Psalm 22:3 says this. David writes, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Thou that inhabitest. When we sing, when we truly praise God, the supernatural power of God is released. We think it's in other things because it's just too simple. How can singing to God make that a difference? My goodness, it's powerful. And I had that experience just a couple weeks ago when my grandkids, three from Calgary, came to stay with me. Two girls and a boy. And the youngest, the last time they were with us previously, all three of them actually got sick, stomach flu, throwing up all night long, violently. It was awful. And they finally just packed up and went home, because when the parents came finally to get them, they got it too. So that's it, we're out of here. And so it was not a great experience, but they came back. They were staying with us for a week. Mom and Dad were gone. And the very first morning, I get up and I'm out in the yard, in the garden, doing whatever. And one of the kids comes running out and says, Grandma, Catherine is sick to her stomach and she's throwing up. And I'm like, no, because I felt so bad for her the last time. It ruined her vacation. And they were so excited to come to Grandma's house for a week. And so I just dropped everything and I ran in. I was making lunch. Lunch was on the table already. And I just said, okay, guys. I said, you guys sit down and eat. I'm going in to Catherine, because Catherine was in the other room. I'm going in there and I ain't coming out until she's healed. I'm not coming out, so you guys just eat. So they sat down. I went into the bedroom. I there was no way I was putting up with this. I mean, this happened the last time. It ain't happening again. And I began to rebuke it, you know, and do whatever I knew to do. And she was crying and hanging on to her stomach. And it hurt so bad. And I was like, no, Catherine, you're healed. You know that you're healed. And of course, she understands, because she her parents and her understand healing. And but it does hurt, Grandma, it does hurt. And finally, I just stopped and I said, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. I don't know what to do here. I just know that you have the answer. I don't know how to pray, so I ask you to help me. Help me pray. And it was almost instantaneous. And I just sensed really to sing. So I began to sing. I mean, I was singing in the spirit. And within seconds, she said to me, oh, Grandma, I feel so much better. And I said, oh, well, praise God. She says, I feel so much better, but could I just sleep for a while? I feel really tired. I said, absolutely. I said, I'm going back out to have lunch. You rest. So I went out and I closed the door. And I mean, ask Cam, within 5 minutes, she came running out and she says, I'm hungry, Grandma. Can I eat? And I said, absolutely. And she sat down and she ate a normal lunch. And that was the end of it. But the Lord began to deal with me. It was like, not necessarily are you rebuking and screaming and, you know, driving the devil out or whatever. It's sometimes just resting and just praising him. And that was so powerful. That was just, it just ministered to me. And I thought, man, this is powerful. Like, because all I did was sing. And it wasn't even for 5 minutes. It was just a few moments that I sang in the spirit. And it was done. And so I'm just sharing that with you today, how powerful it is. And the Holy Spirit's really been dealing with me that whenever you sense, before you do anything, praise God, sing in the spirit, sing with your understanding, just give him the honor. And if there is any more that you need to do in that situation, the Holy Spirit will show you whether you need to, if you need to rebuke something or if you need to just sing. And it's very, very powerful, but it's God's way. How many times in the Bible do we see examples of them just praising God and the enemies just fell? You know, look at Paul and Silas, who were thrown into prison. And at the midnight hour, they began to just sing praises unto God. What happened? Whole place shook, all the chains fell off the prisoners, and the doors opened up. You know, I mean, it's powerful. And it's God's way. It's God's way of us dealing with trials and situations, and especially in that moment when you feel like everything is going wrong and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to pray. You really don't. And so you ignore it and you just keep going, and this thing is eating away at you on the inside, and just, you know, give it to God through praise and worship. Anyways, let's keep going. The word inhabitist. You are the Holy One, and you inhabitest the praises of Israel. So God, we hear the saying, God inhabits the praises of his people. Now that word inhabitest, it actually means, it is the word yashab, and it means to sit down. Now remember, this is God sitting down in your praises in ambush. Interesting. Sitting down in ambush. What is an ambush? had to ask Cameron that last night, what really is an ambush? It's waiting and having a surprise attack on your enemy. Am I right? Anyways, God, in your praises, God is sitting down and he's waiting to attack the enemy. See, it's not you. It's God in you who gets rid of the enemy. Now, how he does that and what's going on in the spirit world, it would be great if we could just see into the spirit world. But it doesn't matter. You feel the results. You know that the enemy is gone. You sense the darkness lifting. You sense the joy coming back in its place. And so this word, it means to marry, to dwell, to remain. It means a sitting place. So your praises release the manifest presence of God into the natural world. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, it tells us, in whom we are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Why am I bringing that out? Because if you are in Christ, God has already taken up residence in you. Okay? God is in you, and you are in him. But even though he's in you, and you sometimes think, how can these things be happening to me? And how is it that all this is going on when I have God in me? But we need to learn that just like the Word of God, you can know the Word, but unless you speak it out of your mouth, it stays in you. It doesn't come out and create in your world. You see, God spoke. You need to speak, but the power of God is released through your praise. Even though that presence is in you, it needs to come out of you into your situation, into your surroundings. So God doesn't tell you to sing and praise him because you have such a lovely voice. There's a reason for it. It's one of your weapons that he's given you, and it's powerful. But most Christians don't use it unless they're in church on Sunday. So, and I mean, I don't care if you can sing or not sing. Everybody has a voice. Sing. God loves your voice. And the enemy is scared of your voice. So God already is in you, but when you worship and praise, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. The presence of the Lord begins to manifest into the natural. And how many of us know when the presence of God is manifest, the enemy leaves? He can't stay there. He can't stay there. So remember this, where you go, the presence goes. No matter where you are, God's not just at home in your bedroom or in your prayer closet. He's with you at all times. The Bible says, by the Spirit, he's in you. And the Bible says, he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you, ever. He's always there, ready and willing to help you, to chase away your enemies. Psalm 68, 1-4 tells us this. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. How does God arise? He rises up out of you into this natural world. Let them also that hate him flee before him. In other words, the enemies flee before the presence of God. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of the Lord. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name, Yah, rejoice before him. So rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. That's what the Bible tells us. Not complain, complain, complain. And that's what we all do. It's normal, it's natural. But we are not normal. Nor are we natural. We live in the supernatural. We are supernatural beings because of the Spirit that's in us. And we need to walk in the Spirit. That's part of walking in the Spirit. It also shows God that you trust him. You know, it seems weird. You get bad news and you go, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Like the world would think you've lost it. But it doesn't matter. We're not of the world, even though we're in the world. And God wants you to rise up and to be that answer. And so that through your lives, people come to you and say, hey, how come you're always, you know, he wants to be known among the Gentiles. And when I say Gentiles, I mean among the unbelievers. And so joy is a very real thing, happiness. The Bible says the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are the three things. If you've got righteousness, peace, and joy, man, you're living in abundance of life. You're living a good life, a happy life. And you're being an example for others. So sing unto God, sing praises unto his name. Who can withstand, the Bible says, the presence of the Lord? Who can stand against that? Who can come against you when the presence of God is all around you? I don't think any enemy wants to have anything to do with you. Psalm 14, verse 7, it says, tremble thou, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. The enemy trembles at his presence, at the presence of God. He trembles and fears at the presence of our God. But as for us, God's children, Psalm 16:11 says this, there's fullness of joy in his presence. And that joy becomes our strength. So the enemy fears and trembles, but the reward to us is joy. Exceedingly great joy. Fullness of joy in his presence. The joy becomes our strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that is written. I didn't put that up on the screen. But in order for you and me to remain strong in our faith, and especially in these, I believe, end days, where we really don't know what's going to happen. We just know the Bible tells us to be continually watching and waiting for the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I said to the Holy Spirit this week, why is it written so often that we need to be waiting, always cognizant every day that it could be today that he comes for his people? Why is that so important? Because if you do a study in the Word of God and you begin to underline and search every time it says looking unto his appearance or waiting for, it's in every book. So why is that so important for us to have that hope? Because that's our hope. I believe it's because it keeps our perspective right. It keeps our perspective. You know, we know that this life is not, you know, we're not going to pursue the things of this world. We pursue the things of that world. And I believe by keeping us always looking, well, is it today, is it today, keeps our perspective right. And when your perspective is right, you will be investing in the right things in your lives for your reward and for God's glory. And I believe that's where we're at today. Keep your perspective right, but at the same time, make the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what was sent down from heaven. Jesus is no longer on this earth in his flesh body, but the Spirit is, and it's in us. Make him your best friend. Make him the person you talk to, the person you give everything to, and let him work. It's amazing when you finally give it all over and realize, I can do nothing, and I mean nothing, except praise you. And like I say, by doing that, you're showing God that you're trusting him in every area. And he'll turn things around in a way where you're like, whoa, never saw that one coming. Because there's a lot of things, let's face it, in our life, where we think it's a dead end. There's just no, we just can't seem to find the answers. And so we deal with it as best as we can. And we kind of somehow convince ourselves that we can live with this and, you know, it's all right. It's okay. But God wants the best for us, just like we want the best for our children. He's a good father. So in order for us to remain strong in the up and coming days, in our faith, and I believe God is really stirring our hearts at this time in the church, to really, just of all things, pursue that relationship with him. Make him real. He is real. It's not something we're trying to He is real, but he needs to be real to you. He needs to become your confidant, your best friend, your strength, your shield, your armor, all the things that you need in this life today. And not that at the end of the day, after you spend the whole day murmuring, complaining, and crying, all of a sudden you think of him and you think, oh, I guess I'll take this to the Lord. No, he needs to be our first line of defense, our first thought in every situation. So in order to remain strong in our faith, we need to be continually rejoicing before him and praising him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Now the whole book of Philippians, if you read this book, you will see he deals with, he uses the word joy and rejoicing more than any other book. And so he's showing us that this is our strength. This is how you do the rest that he talks about, is joy, rejoicing. And in Philippians 3, 1 to, through 1 to 3, it says this, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Dogs are Gentiles in the Bible. No, Gentiles are just unbelievers. Beware of evil workers. And beware of the concision. The concision are the Judaizers who was trying to convince the people that they needed still to be circumcised. Okay, so there's these three things. Now the evil workers, they are just people that were being dishonest. Okay, being dishonest in their craft. That's what that means. So we are, verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. God is seeking such that worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, how do we worship God in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit and worshiping in the Spirit is very important. It helps us to stay strong. Ephesians 6, it says, be strong in the Lord. We're talking about strength and rejoicing and joy of the Lord being our strength. What has this got to do with praying in the Spirit? Ephesians chapter 6, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on God's whole armor. Now the last piece of armor, it's number 7, the 7th thing that is mentioned. It says, praying in the Spirit at all times. Praying in the Spirit at all times. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 7 or 8, 38, 37, 38, John 8, 38, I think it says, that out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. Above all, take the shield of faith that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You see all these things that are happening, these troubles, these trials, it's fiery darts of the enemy coming at you. What quenches it? Water. Out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of water. And as you pray and sing in the Spirit, water is flowing out of you. You're also baptized with fire. And how many times do we fight fire with fire? Many times. We burn up until that place so that the fire can't go any further. So you have a tongue of water and fire, which is what we need in order to be strong, in order to be strong in the Lord. You see, it's not you. So pray at all times. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, a lot of people say that you can pray in your natural tongue and you still are praying in the Spirit. I disagree. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 says this, he who prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays. Okay, there's a difference. There's a big difference. Because in and of yourself, we do not know how to pray intelligibly in that situation. We don't know, does it need water? Does it need fire? We don't know. And so by trusting, humbling ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead that way, just like I did that day with Catherine, I don't know what to do. And I began to sing in the Spirit. It wasn't in my natural tongue. It was by the Spirit. So let's go back to Philippians chapter 4 now, where we were in 3, and let's continue reading about rejoicing. Here the Apostle Paul again says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. That is found in verse 4. He says exactly the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice forevermore. In other words, never stop rejoicing. And in Philippians chapter 4, there is a scripture that is one of the most well-known and well-used scriptures today amongst all people. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his, pardon me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, he's talking about staying strong. But if you don't rejoice, you won't be strong. First of all, he talks about rejoicing at all times for my God. Then he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How? Through your rejoicing. Through your rejoicing. We like to take bits and pieces out of the scripture, but you've got to always take it in context. Where does the strength come from? From rejoicing and praising him. And so when we feel like we're backed into a corner, we feel helpless, hopeless, have no answer for a situation that's just eaten us up. It might not even be a big thing. It could be just a little thing, but it's there. And you might forget about it for a while, but it always comes back. You know, you're reminded of it. And you just feel like, you know, in fact, you've gotten to the point where you just like don't even want to think about it. And there's times where you don't know what to do or where to turn or, you know, you just throw it aside. But what we do need to do is, yes, throw it aside. Not in despair, but in hope. Why? Then just begin to praise and thank him. Just be in that moment. Just begin to praise him for the answer. Praise him for who he is. And as you just go about your daily life, all of a sudden, that thing will just be taken care of. And to the point where you look back and you think, wow, I didn't see that one coming. It just worked itself out somehow. God worked it out. And that's how we are to live. Because the Bible says we're to enter into his rest. We are to be carefree, not a care in the world. And that's how you do it. You just start to praise and give him glory and go about your, not worry or stress over the thing, and just know that God is looking after it. The more you praise him, the more you rejoice in him, the more you're giving him way to move that thing out, to deal with that situation, heal that body, bring peace to that mind. I don't know, whatever it is you're dealing with. Because everybody has their own little box of problems. But God is big enough. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let him out. Let him come out of your mouth. Let him just sing songs. Sing praises unto him. Singing and making melody in your hearts as unto the Lord, singing hymns and praises at all times. I don't care if you can sing or not sing. You know, there's a lot of times there's things we cannot do. But one thing I know for sure, and I've said that to the Lord many, many times, I may not do things all right. I may not say things all right. I don't know if I'm doing this or that or maybe not doing this or that. But I know one thing for certain. I can praise you. And that has been something that has been very strong in me, I think, since I got born again. There's one thing I can do. I can praise you. And I love to praise the Lord. And I know that the Lord loves it when you praise him. He gets all over you. And the more you do it, just like anything else, the more you will do it. The more you become addicted to it. Why? Because you sense the presence of God. And in that presence, there's fullness of joy. A joy that cannot compare to anything in this life. We don't understand because it's a spiritual joy. And it just lifts you up into that higher place where you're walking above your problems, not underneath. Does that mean that you're not going to face problems? No. Does that mean that you're not going to maybe have to go through some things? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It's just that when these things are going on, you're way above. You're rejoicing and praising God because you know you're just walking through it. And God is dealing with it. And so learn to take God at his word. Rejoice forevermore. Praise continually. And watch God work things out in your life without you even having to say anything. He is such an amazing God. So when you rejoice, I'm going to close with this. When you rejoice in him, what you're saying to God. And what God reads into your rejoicing is, I'm taking my joy from Him. I'm deriving joy just by knowing Him, knowing who He is and how wonderful He is. That's my joy. And He's my strength. And that pleases the Lord. No wonder the Lord gets all over that. And so remember that as we go forward in this world dealing, and I'm not talking about, like I say, huge situations that come into your life. I'm talking about just practicing this in just the small ways. And when you see God showing up in things that you think, why would God even care about this little thing? It'll give you the incentive and the faith for the bigger things that come your way. But we need to begin to walk in the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in it. Because it'll change your life, and not only yours, but your family and those around you. Amen? It gets off that joy. Just like depression, where it rubs off onto people, joy does too. Joy, like Catherine says, Grandma, relax. She's telling me to relax. I'll say, yeah, but who's going to do the dishes? Oh, relax. She's only 6 or 7. How old is Catherine? Forget. She was the one that was sick anyways. But we're going to stop here, and we're going to have communion. Josh, you want to call them out from the back?